The following is the audio version of a video released at peakprosperity.com. Visit peakprosperity.com to watch the video and to find other insightful content such as articles, discussion forums, and exclusive subscriber-only content.
Hello, everyone. I am Dr. Chris Martinson, Peak Prosperity, and I am pleased to announce that Peak Prosperity, we're going to be holding one of our world-famous, well-designed, information, and action-packed webinars centered around food in November. Look, we're already pretty busy with so many other vital pursuits, but here's why we're doing this. Well, we have to. In the United States, it's become clear that our merged corporate government partnerships have been conspiring for decades to make us sick. Now, presumably they did this to boost their accumulation of USD currency units or something really banal like that, right? But a sick person, and especially a sick child, is a lifetime of revenue and would be marked as a profit center on various spreadsheets of various CFOs in various industries. And it's disgusting. It's immoral. It's awful. Really sounds bad. It is bad. Now, something is clearly, obviously, desperately gone off the rails. I mean, just look at this chart here of autism rates that have gone up from 1 in 10,000 to, well, they say now it's 1 in 22. So it's just awful, right? I mean, a society that cannot even muster up some sort of alarm about poisoning its own children is perhaps maybe, I don't know, not worth saving. It's that far off the rails, but different conversation for a different day. Today, let's begin our inquiry here. Look, the food industry actively and consciously deployed addiction specialists and scientists from the tobacco industry to engineer foods to be addictive. Now, they did this by making the foods overly delicious and habit-forming, by nailing the so-called bliss point, the bliss spot, which is that precise ratio of fat and sugar and salt. Our foods were weaponized against us. They did this by hijacking our evolutionary wiring. It was never actually a fair fight. So the first excited CEOs and CFOs, they were in the tobacco companies that bought up all the big food companies. And as Callie Means described recently on the Tucker Carlson show, well, let's just listen in. Take it away, Callie.
In the 1990s, the two largest food companies in the world were R.J. Reynolds and Philip Morris. What happened is when the Surgeon General, way too late in the 1980s, said cigarettes were maybe problematic, these were some of the largest companies in the world with the largest cash piles of any company in the world. So what they did is they used their cash piles to buy food companies. They shifted their thousands of scientists who were experts at making cigarettes addictive to the food department. So we had the rise of ultra-processed food, where our food now is a science experiment. The second thing they did is they shifted their lobbying. So the cigarette industry, of course, was the biggest, you know, lobbying spenders and very had a good playbook. They shifted their playbook on lobbying and rigging institutions of trust to food. So they created the food pyramid. So the cigarette industry, through the food and companies they bought, paid off the FDA, the USDA, Harvard to create reports saying sugar doesn't cause obesity. And they lobbied for the food pyramid in the 1990s, we all remember, which said, you know, animal-based fats are bad, carbs are good. Remember, carbs and sugar were basically the base of the pyramid.
So as Callie Means really explained so well, the cigarette companies weren't chastened by finally being caught out on killing their customers by hiding their product's main defects. They merely looked for another area that they could apply their expertise in, leveraging addiction pathways and, I don't know, maybe corrupting regulatory science and legal proceedings. Those were the things that they really excelled at. So they kept doing it. But that food pyramid that we all knew, that, you know, was plastered all over school and my life for so long, you know, with grains at the bottom, all that, it's a complete fabrication. It was meant to promote an unhealthy set of eating practices. It wasn't based on science. So let's let Callie Means take up the story a little bit further.
The fastest growing industry in America right now isn't AI. It's not tech. It's healthcare. It's the largest and fastest growing industry. And just as a statement of economic fact, the best thing for that industry is a child getting sick. When a child gets sick, or any American gets sick with a chronic condition, with diabetes, obesity, kidney disease, heart disease, whatever, they go on a lifetime medication. They go on the metformin, they go on the statin, they have lifetime treatments, and they keep racking up more comorbidities. if you're diabetic, you have an average of 4 other comorbidities. So you keep racking up, but you don't die. You just suffer. You inevitably get infertility, depression. You start racking them up. So that's very good for the medical system to have these chronic conditions that need to be managed. Just from a pure economic standpoint, that's how the system's set up. That's all happening largely because of our food system and other metabolic habits we can talk about, but largely because of our rise of ultra-processed food that's really, really hacking our cells and really hijacking our cells.
So what we just heard is that the system's design, it's designed to A, make people sick, B, treat the symptoms of that sickness or those sicknesses with pills, and then C, when those don't work and they ultimately fail, send those people into hospitals where they're overcharged and underserved. Money, money, money. Just a harvesting operation. It's just designed to create money for the people operating the system. All right. Now, upon hearing that framing from both Casey and Callie Means, the sister-brother team there, upon hearing that from them, my inner contrarian, it just took over. It said, heck no. It screamed, if they want me sick on their poisons, then by gum, I'm going to do the opposite. Become healthy. I'm stubborn that way, right? I hope you are too. Now, if the Federal Reserve wants me to suffer the effects of inflation as a consequence of their endless currency printing, well, I'm going to hold gold, silver, land instead, right? If the government wants me to be afraid and anxious, then I'm going to achieve peace and inner harmony. And I do this by being onto their ways and avoiding the worst of their propaganda and fear-mongering. If the FDA neglects somehow to mention the importance of taking lots and lots of vitamin D or getting plenty of sunshine, then I'm going to take lots of vitamin D and get plenty of sunshine. And now, when it comes to food, though, it's alarming and infuriating, but also empowering, to learn that our mainstay food industry is working against us in every possible way. You call that evil, you call that just overly greedy, you call that immoral, you call that soulless. I don't care. It's a lot of those things, maybe all of them at once. But now that we know that, right? Well, we can do something about it. That's where the empowering part comes in. Now, I wish I knew this a long time ago when my kids were still little children so I could protect them better. I simply didn't know how bad it was. And since COVID, I've learned many things. I've learned that the second group of excited CFOs in this story belong to the pharma industry, which makes the vast bulk of its money and profits by treating the symptoms caused by all this toxic food and the metabolic syndromes that they ignite. Overeating carbs in particular, it's nearly unavoidable in today's society. It's a consequence of eating any ultra-processed food diet, leads to something called metabolic syndrome, which is a sordid collection of maladies that quite often present as a group. Right? As you can see in this graphic here, we've got heart disease and lipid problems and hypertension, got type 2 diabetes, there's dementia, there's cancer, polycystic ovarian syndrome, and non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. You could have one or usually more than one of those things, right? Like Lay's potato chips. Nobody can have just one, they say. So then here's this set of charts showing how obesity has just advanced like a wildfire across the United States. In 1985, very low levels of obesity across the entire United States. But by 2020, it's just every country is some shade of red or purple. It's awful. Now, for its part, the CDC was nowhere to be found on the scene as the largest and most obvious and devastating health emergency in our country's history ravaged the nation for the past three decades. While they were busy, I don't know, chasing down solitary cases of illness possibly caused by raw milk, people died by the literal millions of completely preventable disease. Now, look at this chart. Here's what the CDC says. Oh, yeah, here's the leading causes of death, right? You've got heart disease, number one, cancer, number two, accidents, which aren't a consequence of eating, mostly, I hope, number three, COVID, number four, stroke, number five. Then you got chronic lower respiratory diseases. You got Alzheimer's disease. You got diabetes, nephritis, which is kidneys, chronic liver disease. Okay, that's it. Top 10. Everything that I put a rectangle around up there, and that is 8 out of 10, is a metabolic disease. Cancer, you ask? Yep, cancer too. As Paul Merrick of the FLCCC, he did a deep dive on that. He convinced me that this was the case. Cancer is a metabolic disease. Amazon striking his book down and blocking him from publishing any future books was confirmation that he's onto something important that will support better health in life. That's how you know. As soon as something gets canceled, it's a good sign you should be looking at it a little more closely. Now, that has since been reversed and the book is back on Amazon, but that's only after the FLCCC invoked a high-powered lawyer. But come on, folks. Science really shouldn't need lawyers to remain on the bookshelves. It's just science. Inconvenient science if you're a pharma goon, but science nonetheless. And before anybody says anything to me like about that chart, that list from the CDC, no, I do not consider COVID-19 actually to be a cause of death. It's not that one. That's just nonsense, okay, from the CDC. Healthy people don't die from COVID, or at least so rarely, it's totally negligible. And it's only people who have multiple comorbidities that die with COVID, not necessarily from it. Did they die from COVID, or was COVID just really that thing that they had that kicked them down the stairs because they already had multiple comorbidities that were going to shorten their life anyway? I think that's really the story here, which means a COVID death, it's really a metabolic disease death, just got a little help from COVID. So that's how I see it. Now, we're going to look at this chart here. This is age-specific prevalence of metabolic syndrome by sex, by race, by ethnicity, 2011 to 2016. And you can just see that it goes from basically 1 in 5 people in what should be the healthiest years of life, right, which is ages 20 to 39. Well, then that becomes ages, it goes up to 40% at ages 40 to 59. And that jumps all the way to 60% if you're over the age of 60. So this is astonishingly bad. Really? 60% of people? I mean, as this chart shows, that's 1 in 5 people between the ages of 20 and 39. Right? And then it goes to 3/5 by 60. Man, that is bad. But wait, it gets worse. Beyond the metabolic disease caused by a grotesque imbalance of sugar and other carbohydrates and all that stuff, lipids and proteins, there are toxins to consider as well. As the food babe Vanni Harry points out constantly, U.S. foodstuffs have things in them that the EU never allowed and in many cases is banned for being cancer-causing and or toxic to human health. I mean, if you look at this, she puts up lots of side by sides like this. This is Fanta, U.S. version, U.K. version. In the U.S., you have high fructose corn syrup. You've got sodium benzoate. You got yellow 6, red 40. Anybody here know what yellow 6, red 40 actually is? When you go over to the U.K. version, you find out that they use sugar instead of high fructose corn syrup, right? You got some citric acid, which is fine, natural product, malic acid, fine. Vegetable extracts, carrot and pumpkin, to give it that color, right? And just some other stuff in there, all of which is kind of natural compared to high fructose corn syrup and yellow 6 and red 40 and stuff like that. Tons of examples like that. All right. There are industrially sourced dyes, exotic preservatives that the EU does not allow. A bevy of preservatives, some of which are powerful enough to block molds and bacteria from consuming fast food for more than a decade, are now part of the American diet. Look at this. This is a 12-year-old McDonald's burger on fries. It's on display at the Snøhvit in Iceland, right? Somebody actually threw this into a bin and forgot about it and didn't take the trash out and looked back in there like years later and like, wow, still looks edible. So they made a joke out of it, but now it's kind of famous. People go to visit the 12-year-old, probably now 14-year-old burgers. Look, nothing ate it. It was in the trash, and now it's on display. Nothing is consuming that. All right, that should tell you something. Europe has a vastly lower threshold for glyphosate. That's Roundup's main ingredient. Has a lower threshold for those residues of glyphosate in food than in the U.S., which, for some reason, nobody can properly explain, allows to be sprayed on mature crops as a desiccant. Speed up the drying a little bit, promote a more consistent and speedy harvest, because we're in a hurry. All right, from there, all that glyphosate enters the food supply chain, causes all sorts of gut biome disruption, and all the attendant ills that come from that, including things like neurological issues, hormone, autoimmune issues, gut issues, behavioral issues, up to and including schizophrenia is linked to poor gut balances. All right, so what do we do? Now, the above very condensed list of issues and obvious corruption and moral rot at the heart of the food system. Now, it's spread to most of the world. It's spreading everywhere. It's cheap. It's easy. It hits the bliss point. companies make a lot of money at it. So obviously it's spreading. Now, escaping those pitfalls and perils and reclaiming your health, it's as simple and as hard as eating better food. And we're all a little bit different, so you're going to have to dial that in a little bit. Now, knowing that this is a difficult subject for many people, including myself, full disclosure, we've assembled a really great cast of people to help simplify this topic. We're going to make it as easy as possible to get started on your journey to better health and a longer life. Now, obviously, health is the most important thing any of us have. Our children, though, and our grandchildren's health, also of paramount concern. So if you're a parent or grandparent concerned for the health of your family members, this webinar that we're putting on is designed for you. And beyond that, we're all sick and tired. I know this. We're all sick and tired of being sick and tired. So it's also being designed for people like me who are ready to no longer be the sucker of this system, us contrarians, right? I'm going to be healthy because they want me sick. That's how I roll. The main goals of the webinar will be to spend just a little bit of time on the main framing of the problems so that the uninitiated can't follow along. You should be able to send this to people who maybe know nothing about this issue yet. But the rest of the time of the webinar is going to be spent on success stories and assembled resources that you can draw upon to procure healthier food, guidance, support, whatever you need. The faculty for this webinar is still TBD. It's assembling quickly, but we can say that it does include myself, Tracy Thurman, who many of you have seen already, Dr. Ken Berry, Peter Simonson to talk about bone density, metabolic health, a whole wide variety of farmers and producers, maybe an Amish guy in there, success stories, obviously, to motivate and show what's possible. And then, of course, we'll be doing our usual thing. We'll be assembling a big old how-to list of suppliers and sources to help simplify and reduce the complexity of eating well. I mean, it shouldn't be this hard, but it kind of is. So in conclusion, look, food represents one facet of the great awakening that's now upon us. And it's a really important one. Everybody wants to be healthy. Many of us don't know how to get there. So lifting our heads up groggily, we've noticed that our interlocking system of corporations and government they've entirely lost the plot line, assuming that plot line included us being healthy and happy. They don't care about that. In fact, they want the opposite. They clearly do not have our best interests at heart. We know that. And worse, they are clearly incentivized to create more sickness and disease, not less. And over time, this has morphed into such a distorted labyrinth of falsehoods and customary practices that most doctors are entirely unaware of where the problems originate in their practices and in their patients, or how to even do anything about it other than treat the symptoms. We're offering a root cause analysis and a set of actionable solutions. It's time to fight back. They want you sick. We want you healthy.